willing that the blizzard doesn't hit before we get there. We're planning to leave Tuesday, and the storm is coming Tuesday to Wednesday, so it's kind of iffy at this point. But our plan is to be with a whole bunch of family out on a farm in Nebraska for the holidays. So we will have a white Christmas, I guarantee it. And the way it seems to be here in Alaska, I mean, I keep calling this Alaska where we've moved, but in Tennessee, y'all may have a white Christmas too. But I do offer you my prayers that your Christmas is blessed, that you enjoy being together with family and friends, and I hope that you've enjoyed this month together. I feel like that we've, at Forest Mill, just had a great month. I loved the children's production. I don't know what we call that here, but that was just incredible. I thought, why have a sermon? We just had an awesome sermon by the kids today. It was so good. Way to go, Joseph. That was cool. I've also loved the spirit of giving back to our community this month. We have served so many families and brightened the Christmas of just a lot of homes in this community due to your efforts. And I know that a whole lot of food was delivered this week for some folks that are going to just have a real blessing of some food this month. And in fact, because we're serving in the community, we're still getting calls. And Sarah Harbin mentioned to me this morning that she has two more families today. So if you're interested in adopting a family, go see Sarah, because we're still getting calls from people. So what a blessing to be a part of a body that is so concerned about being Jesus to our community. So I thank you for that. Let's begin with a prayer. Father, we just come to you, and we truly want to have your vision. We truly want to be able to see people the way that you see people. We want to be aware that you're all around us. We want to be aware that we are now your hands and your feet, that we are your voice. And I just pray that you would use us in that. Lord, I pray that this morning that you would open our hearts and that you would speak through me, and may your message be loud and clear to us today. May we leave just more aware of your love for us, and we just thank you so much for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. This morning I want to begin with a story that you've probably heard before. It's told by a theologian, and it's about a prince. And this prince was looking for a maiden. He needed a wife. He needed a queen someday. And so this prince was going out into the village, and as he was traveling around, he just became aware of this beautiful maiden, this beautiful woman. And as he was just running his errands, he was just attracted to her, and he just thought, wow, she would be a great person to be my wife. But being a prince, he didn't know how to ask that question, how to make her his wife. And so, you know, he thought, well, you know, I could force her to be my wife, but even a prince knows that it's not good to coerce someone into being the queen. And so he ruled that out, and he thought, well, I could, you know, get in my carriage and have all my horses, and I could put on my best uniform, and I could go to her doorstep, and I could knock on the door. But he was afraid that his splendor and just the fact that he was the prince would just overwhelm her so much that she wouldn't really love him, but she would just be in awe of his greatness. And so the prince decided the only thing that he could really do was to go and to live in the community, to just shed himself of being this person of royalty. And he just moved in, and he lived in the village, and he worked among the people, and he developed a relationship with this girl. And eventually, over time, as they grew to know each other, they fell deeply in love with each other. And I know that most of you are just so far ahead of me already, you know where I'm going. But I think that story is our story. It's the story that we have as we think about Jesus coming into our world. If you would throw up the scripture from John chapter 1, and we've already read this scripture together, but I just want us to just be in awe of what really has happened. Because as we think about the Christmas story, we've talked about from Matthew and from Luke, and we've really even discussed at times that those are the only two accounts that we really have of the Christmas story, but really John tells the story as well. But he just looks at it from a different angle. And it goes like this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And through Him all things were made, and without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. You see, John tells the story, I think, in the greatest way that it could be told. Because God was up in heaven, and God created the whole universe, and He created all of us. And yet God had to figure out a way to have us love Him. And so God decided, even though I'm so powerful, and even though I'm so mighty, and even though I could force these people to love me, I'm not going to choose that route. And I could show them my splendor and my majesty, and it would just be so overwhelming that they truly may not love me. And so we skip down to verse 14, and God chose this route. It says that the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. God came into our world. God chose to become a human, to take on flesh and become just like you and I. I love the passage in Philippians chapter 2 where it says that Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or held on to, but He gave up being God. He gave up being present everywhere. He was present only in the flesh of one person. I believe He gave up being all-knowing. I believe that this baby had to learn how to speak, and had to learn how to walk, and had to learn even the law of Moses from Mary and Joseph. He was not all-knowing. He had to learn and grow just like all of us do. I believe that Jesus gave up being all-powerful. His power came through the Holy Spirit. As an adult, he received that spirit power, and He performed miracles, but it wasn't because He was God and He just, you know, could do all this hocus-pocus magic. He gave up being all-powerful, and He was limited to the power that God gave Him during His ministry. You see, Jesus was a human just like you and I. He came into our world so that we could relate to Him, so that we would fall in love with Him. I want us to look at the passage in Matthew, because to me this, and it's so interesting how the Spirit works, but Joel chose the scriptures that I wanted to share this morning, and Tommy chose the scripture we read together, John 1, and that's how God works. But I love the story that Matthew tells, because to me the Christmas story, it's about how God's greatest desire intersects with our greatest need. You see, God's greatest desire is that we would have this relationship with Him, that we would love Him with all of our hearts. But our greatest need is that we be rescued from our sin, that we have, without God, just a meaningless, hopeless, purposeless existence in this life. And so as we look at this Christmas story, we see just the coming together of those two great events. Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. It says, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." You see that verse right there? That's our greatest need. He is called Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sins. Jesus means the Lord saves. And it's a very common name, but yet it's the greatest need that we have. But the angel goes on and it says that all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. And they will call him Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. God is with us is the simplest way to communicate the Christmas story. You know, we've looked at it from the angle of how God chose ordinary, common, flawed people as the parents of Jesus. How he chose this little town and worked through the town of Bethlehem. And last week we talked about how, whether you look at it from lots of preparation made to a little bit of preparation made, there's a lot of different angles that we can look at this story. But the real simplest way for us to think about this story is that God is with us. And I want you to just be in awe of that thought, that God came into our world. And God wanted to be with us. And that point is made throughout Jesus' entire ministry. The whole time that he was on the earth, he was with people, and people loved him, and he drew crowds, and they enjoyed being in his presence, and they enjoyed listening to his teaching, but they just enjoyed being around him because God was with us. And the cool thing is, God is still with us. I was trying to think of a way to illustrate this morning, and just kind of the way I do that a lot of times is I'll get on the internet and I'll be looking for illustrations and I'll be looking for videos and all kinds of stuff. That's kind of what I do in youth ministry, is try to do a lot of visual video stuff. I came across this video that I want to share with you this morning, and it'll just kind of help to set the tone for what God with us really means. Could we show that?
Christmas. It means many different things to many different people. But if you condense the many meanings of Christmas down to just one simple truth, you'll always end up with four words. Over and over and over again, four words. God is with us. The holy God of Israel, wrapped warmly in humanity, is crying real tears in a real city with real parents who are trying their best to take it all in. God is with us. He's on our planet, on our countryside, in our manger. Emmanuel, the very name the angel speaks, is now given to Jesus because God is with us. Fast forward 2,000 years. The four words that changed history can now change us. Those four words are the only words that can bring meaning to the deepest places of our hearts. For the woman whose husband walked out on her and who continually struggles to pick up the pieces. For the elderly couple who can no longer care independently for themselves and who must now rely on the care of others. For the man who watches as all of his friends get married off and who painfully wonders if there's any woman out there who will ever take an interest in him. For the person who is seeking truth and looking hard at Jesus as a possibility. You are not alone. You never have been, and you never will be. Because God in Christ wrapped himself in human flesh, stepped out of eternity and into time, and chose a cave in Bethlehem to communicate one simple, abiding truth. God is with us. And those four words have the power and the beauty to change every waking moment.
Four simple words. God is with us. And I believe the message for today and for, I hope, the next couple of weeks is that we can remember that we are never alone, that God is with us. My prayer will be that we can be more aware of His presence, that we can see Him in the people that we're around, that we can just know that even if we're alone, we're not really alone. Even if we're having some difficulties in our life, some circumstances or some struggles that we're dealing with, that we're not going through them alone. Because Jesus came so that we would know that God is with us. And I think about the final words of Jesus before He was about to leave the earth. You know, we focused this morning on Emmanuel, God with us. And yet, it's consistent throughout His life. And as He has gathered His disciples together and He says to them, "All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to Me. Therefore, I want you to go and to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I will command you." And then He says, "And surely, I will be with you always, to the very end of the age." You see, the whole purpose of Jesus coming was to help us to know that God is with us. And even though God was leaving us, those disciples, He says, "Have peace in knowing that I will always be with you." That He's sending His Holy Spirit because God is with us. And that's just such a powerful message for us to focus on at Christmas. God is with us. This morning, if you have anything that you need the elders to encourage you about, if there's things that you want to share with the body and ask for prayers for, we sing a song right now that is designed to just be a chance for you to respond and share with this family. If that's what you need to do, I'm going to encourage you to come and do that. But please don't forget the message. God is with us. Let's stand and sing.
Oh, why did He choose a lowly birth? Because He loved me so. He loved me so. He loved me so. He gave His precious life for me. For me, because He loved me so. Did He drink the bitter cup of sorrow, pain, and woe? Why on the cross be lifted up? Because He loved me so. He loved me so. He loved me so. He gave His precious life for me. For me, because He loved me so. Thus comes I'll sing His praise,
and then to glory go.
He loved me so. It has been good to be with you this morning. It's been even better that God has been with us, and I'm so grateful for that. It's just, what a sweet morning. What a sweet morning. If we will just allow God to be with us, it changes everything. It changes everything. If this is your first time to be with us, and I know I've met several this morning that I have not seen here before, we just want you to feel welcome. We want you to know that because you are here, we have been able to be with God in a way that we never have before. When more and more of His body comes together and shares with one another, God is with us in a bigger way each and every time. And so I'm just grateful for that. So thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you, young people, for sharing the Christmas story with us. Wow. Thank all of you for singing along with, we didn't know we were going to be a part of that, did we? But Elaine and Linda and Marina, whoever was a part of that, thank you guys for bringing that to us. I know you're watching some announcements going back here. No, you're not. You're not. Okay. There's not going to be any up there. But take your insert or your bulletin that was on your chair this morning and check those. A couple of meeting notes that you need to know about. Next Sunday morning, we're going to do what we have done. I think it's become a tradition for us. We're going to have brunch at 9 o'clock, and then we're going to have our corporate worship at this time, the same time as always. So there won't be any classes, but just bring goodies with you, and I think there may be some prizes, Dan. Is that correct? Well, I can be certain of this. If Forest Mill does something, there are always surprises. You know, is that right, Linda? There are always surprises. So that will happen. This Wednesday night and the following, during this holiday time, we will have a devotional in here. And so we ask you to bring your classes in here, and we'll have some singing, devotional time, both of those evenings during our holiday time. So please come and be a part of that if that works into your plans for the holidays. Any other things that we need to say to each other this morning? Okay. Okay. Nancy Fox's dad, Mr. McCullough, passed away, and his funeral will be this afternoon at 2 o'clock in Shelbyville. Yes, Dan?
Do we have a new Shelton baby over there?
Do we have a new baby in the house? Yeah. I thought I heard something going on over there. Yeah. And this is small group day, so if you'll check with your small group folks and see what the arrangements are for your groups, that is today. Anything else? Yes. Say that again, Shane.
Chris Gray.
Chris Gray, yes. We've been praying for Chris Gray, a friend of Shane's, and he has cancer and fixing to have some major surgery with his head, I think. Is that correct? Okay. We'll be praying for Chris. Thank you, Shane. Okay. As we leave, let's go ahead and pray together. Father, it's so good to be with you. I'm grateful that you've chosen us to be with us, Father. Thank you that you've given us the heart that wants you, the heart that desires you. Father, thank you that you have chosen us. We are moved by that. We are moved deeply. Father, thank you for the new life that's among us, whether that be new babies that have come into our family, whether that be new people that have chosen to come and worship with this body here. We're just grateful for the new life that we find, and we give you thanksgiving and praise for that. Thank you that you are ever about bringing life. And Father, thank you for that. Thank you for the gift of Jesus that we have spent this morning concentrating on and being with him. And so we thank you for that. We lift up Chris Gray to you. We lift up Nancy Fox and family to you, Father, for death and disease and struggle. Father, we thank you for those things, but we do beg for your mercies, your comfort, and Father, your abiding peace that we can have with you. And so please give us the strength to choose that. Father, thank you for this body that has been drawn together here, that has been unified and has been bonded together because of your love. And your love has permeated through us to each other, and we are grateful for that. So, so thankful for that. Father, again, help us to be mindful of this season. I know I've heard many say this morning that this is oftentimes a season of struggle. It is, but I've seen in ways that you've turned struggle into peace and struggle into joy, and I'm thankful for that. Keep us ever mindful and to hold on fast to your Son, Jesus. We pray this through him. Amen.